Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us. Earlier on the show in the 12 o'clock hour, we were joined by Kaylee McEnany to talk about this side of those election results. It was great to reconnect with her. And in the 1 o'clock hour, Jim Carafano on those Ukrainian missiles that are American missiles being fired over into Russia, as well as Tom Homan's appointment to take care of the border. And Jim Carafano, the way he speaks about Tom Homan is so encouraging for me. If you missed it, you can go check the podcast at anniefryshow.com/podcast, or you can go to the Audacy app, Audacy, follow the show there, and you can get the podcast there as well. Mike Bost spoke with us at 1:25 as well and was talking to us about how the Republicans are preparing for January 20th when Donald Trump is inaugurated. And I really get the vibe from him and other people who I've seen speak on this issue that the Republicans, they're coming to play, and they've got a plan, not just about what they want to do, but also how to get it done. And I'm really excited to see how quickly they're able to implement a lot of the change that Americans voted for when they elected Republicans at every level of our federal government. When it comes to nominations from Donald Trump's cabinet, we've got Marco Rubio as Secretary of State, Attorney General Matt Gaetz, Defense Pete Hegseth, Homeland Security Kristi Noem. That's one that kind of was it within 24 hours prior to Matt Gaetz, and everybody was like, Kristi Noem? And then Matt Gaetz came out, and Kristi Noem's just like, shh. Mm-hmm. just everybody quiet. John Ratcliffe to the CIA, Tulsi Gabbard to the Department of National Intelligence, EPA Lee Zeldin, the United Nations Ambassador Elise Stefanik, Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Interior Doug Burgum, Veterans Affairs Doug Collins, and Congressman Boss told us a little bit in the 1 o'clock hour about that appointment as he serves in the House as the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Felt very good about the Doug Collins appointment. And Chris Wright for Energy. We have just, was it Treasury that came out?
Commerce Secretary.
Commerce Secretary is, I had the headline up here and then I lost it because I don't know I don't know as much about those things. Like I can know some of these other names and the idea of what they're doing, but the entire finance world becomes, I just don't understand it as much as I understand a lot of the other things. Howard Lutnick is the name for Commerce Secretary. He is the CEO of investment firm Cantor Fitzgerald and co-chairs President-elect Trump's transition team, Howard Lutnick. So that probably means something very much so to people listening right now. I'm not one of them. We'll have to have guests on to weigh in on these things, of course, as they are confirmed. But there are still positions that have not been announced quite yet. Secretary of Labor, I think that will be an interesting one. The Treasury, Secretary of Agriculture, Commerce, Education, Housing, HUD, that's what Ben Carson was last time. The head of the CDC, mm-hmm. Be interested to see who gets that. The Surgeon General, I'm hoping that Ben Carson gets to go in. I love Ben Carson. One of the things I like the most about Ben Carson is how outrageously intelligent he is and soft-spoken at the same time. But when he speaks, he doesn't, the words he says are not soft words. He just says them softly. And I love that. Small Business, OMB, U.S. Trade Representative, and the CEA. What's the CEA? I don't even know what that is. I'm looking at the New York Times.
It's like the CIA, but not quite. You're welcome.
Yeah. Please don't tell people you heard that here. Pick a different show.
I heard on the Annie Fry Show, nope. The CEA is a lot like the CIA, but not quite.
Actually comes first, alphabetically.
Also true. I don't care
that's
about that
more,
stuff, though.
That's
I'm talking about
true.
The nuts and bolts.
That's more true than what you said.
No. What I said is absolutely verifiably true.
How do you feel about the pace with which these nominations are coming through? Do you want them all out there right away? Because he's got like half of the ones that require Senate confirmation. He's at about half of those individuals.
Yes.
Nominated.
I'm glad that he's moving at this pace, whether it be this or anything else. This is what we can see. You know, what else is that? What else are they planning? What else are they doing behind the scenes to get ready for day one? This being the public face of that, I'm glad to see it happening fast because that means everything else is probably happening at the same pace.
I wonder what, and we'll never really know, but I wonder what the people who staff the White House, like the residents, I wonder what those people feel about Donald Trump coming back in versus, like, what is it like to essentially live with or serve the Trump family versus the Biden family? And some of those people have been there. You know, you always hear, like, he's been the chef since Abraham Lincoln or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Immortals. Vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lincoln.
Yeah. That's why he hunted them.
I'd hunt them, too.
I would, too. But I don't have that position.
Don't you feel like the complete and total irony that existed with out of the gate, the Harris then Walz campaign, and it really happened before it was Harris Walz, was that Republicans are weird and Democrats are joyful. It's the opposite.
It certainly is now. And I think that you can make a strong case that the winner is more joyful. But even before that, you could see that one campaign was having a little better time than the other. Every time, and this may be fully partisan. I understand that. I'm a Republican, so I'm reading into this from
You're
red
a Republican?
Eyes. I am.
Oh.
But when I saw the Trump campaign, I'm like, you know what? There's energy. There's an energy. They're not taking anything for granted, but there's energy. On the Democrat side, it felt like all that energy was front-facing, was public-facing energy mm-hmm. to say, look how excited we are. Look how many people are at our rallies, which is funny because that's the kind of stuff that Trump does. But he's been doing it for 8 years and people are still showing up. There was a lot of reports that they were bussing people in for those things. They clearly were paying celebrities to endorse them. So you find out after the fact that your gut instinct was true. That was all front-facing energy.
I think it's always been the case that the Republicans have been more joyful and less weird than Democrats. I mean, it's conservatives. You conserve things. We like the way things were, things that were good. We want to conserve that and hold those things sacred.
You also want to conserve freedom with the American people.
Right.
Not with an overbloated government.
And then you look at, like, the stuff over the past 8 years that they were pushing, that they were trying to get out there, trying to, quote-unquote, normalize. They've always been weird, and they've always accused the Republicans of doing what they themselves are doing. You're weird. Well, we're actually weird ourselves, and that's why we're accusing you, so people look at you weird. You're going to use the government to prosecute us. Well, that's actually kind of what we're doing right now. That's their whole book. It's the whole book. What is it? Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals Accuse the Other Side of What It Is You're Doing? It's always been that way.
The FBI director hasn't been selected yet either. And there's a lot of chatter. And I don't know if this is just to make the person who they actually pick seem less intimidating to the other side. But have you heard the name Kash Patel? We've had him on the show, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
We've had him on the show multiple times. And it's a very interesting thought to put Kash Patel in the position where he could direct the FBI, because he has spoken about, you know, what the FBI should actually do. He was on with Sean Ryan and they were having a discussion about the FBI as an institution and what needs to be done.
They need to decrease what I call government creep with personnel. The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big. And the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and rapists and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for the next government promotion.
Isn't that something that you hear in every bureaucratic system that exists in Washington, D.C. And he calls it government creep. I think we've heard of that before. It's just like what Congressman Voss was saying at 125 on the show, is all of these agencies get these budgets. Then you do CRs. You don't actually go through and actually do a budget, but you do these CRs. And that means that nobody gets more money, but also nobody gets less money. And nobody returns money back to the American people. If there's money left over, they say, go spend it.
Looking for their next fancy government title, looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government.
So a massive government reform.
Yeah. You got to work with Congress to eliminate the billets. This is one of the things we did when I was deputy DNI. We got to DNI and I was like, okay, what do all these people do? We've got the CIA, so why do I have analysts doing the CIA's job here? Why do I have a floor of them? Like, give me a good answer. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot. But if you can give me an answer that satisfies their existence, I'm all in. Well, we just have our own people.
Everybody's got their own people.
Yeah, when it doesn't cost you anything and the money is always appropriated to you. But these are the questions that need to be asked right now. And it's funny to listen to people on X post about Kash Patel or whatever. And we've talked to him on the show, and he's been always such a straight shooter. But when you listen to him explain these things, he's talking about cutting down government bloat and asking questions in order to get to the point where it's like, okay, explain to me why we need these people. If you can explain it to me, then we will keep these people. If you can't explain it to me, if the answer is they're there just because they're there, that's not a good enough reason to keep taking the money from taxpayers.
Okay, well, now we don't. And we went to Congress and zeroed out a bunch of billets, and they hated us for it.
Why? Why would Congress hate you for that?
Not Congress, the public. Congress is like, great, you saved us money. You're the only agency that returned money this year because we didn't spend our entire budget. We were literally funding seats with no humans in them for years. And what the government creep that I was talking about is these agencies go to Congress every year. And again, this is why it's a thing of decades. I need 5 more seats here. I need 10 more seats here. Okay, you keep doing that. How's that going? Oh, we'll fill that seat next year. We're in the process of, you know, interviewing people for that section. And that keeps, no one returns money. It's the biggest fiction in government that you can't return money. Every agency and department that I've ever worked for, when it comes to the fiscal end of the year, they're like, go on trips, go spend money. What? Just give it back to Congress. We can't do that.
Oh, man. Go on trips. Go spend money. And if you've worked in any sort of corporate America and you're supposed to put together a local budget and all that stuff, you know what it's like to understand that you've got, you know, X amount of dollars left in some certain line item thing. And you're like, gosh, we got to spend this or we're never going to get that money back. Some CapEx expense or something like that. And so you go out and you try to get things that a lot of times the truth of the matter is in corporate America, you've pinched pennies for so long. There are things that you need, but you don't go out and buy the things in January, February, March that you probably do need because you don't know what's going to blow up in October, November. So you get to the end of the year and you're like, okay, we can do this. Give us the priorities of things that we need. And you end up spending those dollars. But it's a lot different when it's coming from the taxpayer. When it's coming from the person who's out there working hard and you don't feel as though there's ever a limitation to how much money you can go out and get. And Kash Patel's there saying that they'd sent money back. They said, we didn't use these dollars. I can only imagine what the faces look like when they were like, you're sending it back?
It's amazing.
Did they give it back to the taxpayer? No.
I don't know the answer. I don't know where that money goes. Here's the other thing is that, and I know people in the financial sector who've said that our agencies that oversee them, because there's an agency that oversees everything, Dodd-Frank, you remember that bill, changed the way that they work. And they just keep getting bigger. They bigger, 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 bigger. And the financial industry, I've been told, is just like the rest of them, where they'll come in and they'll just make rules for whatever trading company they're going to oversee that day. And they'll say, here's the rules. And that trading company is not capable of doing all that because the rules were different last year. So they come in and they make new rules and then they fine them for breaking those rules. And they say, look at what we've done. We made sure that these companies are complying with these rules that we made up arbitrarily for the people. But it has nothing to do with the people. They don't change anything for the American people, but they do these things to justify their own existence so that they can go back to Congress and they can go back to whoever and say, look at what we've done. Look at all these things we've implemented.
Man, I'm excited to see what we can do on a spending cut thing. And, you know, whenever you hear the Festivus, Rand Paul airing of grievances of government spending on December 26th or 20th, whenever that is, 23rd? Is it before or after Christmas?
I think it's before the end of the year.
Maybe it's like 20.
It's like in between Christmas and New Year's.
It's always so frustrating to hear about the things that we spend money on are like Mad Libs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, give me an animal, a substance, and a piece of exercise equipment, and we'll test that. And then they get $1 million. I'm like, can I have like $10,000 of my tax dollars back? Could I do that? I will make things happen for people if you can invest in me, the American the American individual who can use that money to try to grow something here instead of finding out like how fast shrimp run on treadmills while they're on cocaine.
That's almost a real one.
I know. I know there's shrimp and treadmills. I don't know what else was.
Well, the one,
it's probably Viagra.
Rand Paul was talking about within the last couple of days, making rounds right now.
There's cocaine involved, wasn't there?
There was. It's how does cocaine affect the sexual prowess of quails?
Oh, yeah, I was thinking pigeons.
It was close.
Yeah. What do we learn from this other than elect better government officials?
Now, look, I want to cut most things. I'm kind of interested in that one.
You kind of, now it's like, now I have to know how
it sounds. I want to know.
All right, go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Which full story do you want most to be released? The assassination attempts and assassinations that have happened in our American history, the Jeffrey Epstein story, COVID, or the 2020 elections? I could have put aliens on here, but I didn't. Mostly because I think the aliens, I think when we talk about aliens, it's always a diversion. Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. You can leave your comments there as well, and we'll feature them throughout the show. Jennifer said, so hard to choose in order, COVID, 2020 election, assassination attempts, and Jeffrey Epstein. Chris said, that's a tough one. All of the above, plus the Vegas shooter and Diddy. The Vegas shooter one I'm very interested in as well. I would really like to know what that was about. Lori said, I think I would like to hear about the 2020 election now that all other charges are now being dropped. I think GOP need to look farther into the 2020 election. All the charges haven't been dropped yet, but, well, I don't know. Georgia's still kind of a mess in that regard, but it's headed that direction. Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
Extreme. I rock a mic like a vampire.
And by the way, this idea that Trump won with some kind of mandate is not true. I mean, we have information there. He beat Kamala Harris by 1.6%. Joe Biden beat Trump by 4.5%, and nobody said it was a mandate. So get that out of your lips, out of your mouth, these people who are saying it's a mandate. It's not a mandate. And another thing, I have one more thing. Why are all these cabinet members, on people that he's seen on television, is he going to put Vanna White in there, man?
Yes.
I mean, every single one of them is known to us. There's like most presidents, when they have a cabinet, they find like the greatest people
he
from
hired
the universe.
Those people.
Yeah, but we didn't know who they were. Did you know Tillerson before he came on? No, I know every single one of these. Even that Hegseth person was an ABC News guy.
No, Fox News,
Fox, whatever.
ABC is the network you work for.
Yeah.
How are the ladies in The View going to make it?
I don't know, but I mean, she's bringing up a lot of really good points. Maybe Trump should listen to Joy Behar.
Yeah, that would work really well.
Because he didn't get a mandate. He should listen to what The View says and do it.
I don't know what a mandate looks like in this day and age. But considering how much Donald Trump won by with the environment that he was having to compete in, easy for me to sit here and say, but it's easy for her to sit there and say, total mandate.
It's a miracle.
It is, yeah. I mean, like, literally a miracle.
Yeah. I mean, the things that he's overcome, and everybody knows that. If you were voting for Kamala Harris and you were dyed in the wool and you were, I'll go back to the old thing I say every time. If you're among the 30% of people who, when they polled them after the first debate, said, Joe Biden did great in that debate. I don't know what you're talking about. You are delusional and you are on The View. You are multiple things, and most of them is that you are in media. But you are part of the problem that he overcame. You just lied about him for years and years, came at him with everything, created an environment where the government could come after him, and now you can't believe you lost.
You know, like, there's time to mourn, but you can't do it for 4 years. I don't, know how they're going to manage it. They're going to have to place, because after this, Donald Trump is not in it. Do you see people talking about him becoming J.D. Vance's vice president? Why do people say that? He cannot constitutionally, the person who serves as the vice president on a ticket has to meet the constitutional requirements to become a president. Donald Trump will not meet those requirements. He cannot be the president again.
That's what I thought. I was having this conversation with somebody this morning, and I said, I don't think he can.
No, he can't.
And that's right.
And Trump is going to allow people to have these conversations because it's funny to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny to me. But I don't know. The fears that these people have, they just kind of blow my mind. I just saw up here on TMZ, which is always in the studio, not because we ask for it. It just is. I think it stems from, is this, what channel is this? I ask you this every time we talk about it.
I think this is Channel 4, where they have Channel 4 news on in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it just stays
on. And then it just stays on, because we're watching other, we got a million screens in here, and we just don't mess with that one. But they were covering the Matt Gaetz story in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So TMZ covering Matt Gaetz, my interest is peaked, for sure. I went on Yahoo and got directed to a USA Today story, which is kind of in line of what I saw TMZ saying there. But hacker got damaging sealed testimony against Matt Gaetz, according to an attorney. That's the headline. From Pensacola, Florida, on this USA Today article, files containing statements from witnesses who gave damaging testimony against former Representative Matt Gaetz, the pick for attorney general, were hacked on Monday, attorneys say. The hacked files include an unredacted deposition of a woman who reportedly had sex with Gaetz when she was 17 years old. I don't know what the laws are in Florida. And I have what the secular crowd would believe to be a very prude look on the purpose and intent of sex in human life. So I would have what I would call a biblical six commandment view. And I believe that sex should be reserved for marriage and kids. Abstinence is an okay option, and you should consider it. Take that for what you will. So when I hear, you know, that Matt Gaetz potentially had this relationship, this kind of relationship with a 17-year-old, it raises concerns. I don't know. Does it matter state to state, like age laws? Are there times when can a 17-year-old in any situation give consent?
Not really, unless there's marriage involved. And
that wasn't involved.
That's not a factor here.
The article says an email obtained by the USA Today Network to attorneys in a Florida defamation lawsuit warns that unredacted files with depositions of several witnesses were accessed. The attorneys are involved in a federal defamation lawsuit against former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg, brought by former state lawmaker and lobbyist Chris Dorworth in 2023. The lawsuit accuses Greenberg, who is serving an 11-year prison sentence for sex trafficking, and several of Greenberg's family members of conspiring with Joel's sex trafficking victim to falsely accuse Dorworth and Gaetz of sexual misconduct. So you have the potential of allegations being made to falsely accuse these two individuals, which include Matt Gaetz, of this type of behavior. Our YouTube poll for today is like, which full story do you want the most to be released? The problem with the justice system today is we've watched Joe Biden wield it against people who he disagrees with so much that now you distrust everything. You can't apply that as a blanket statement to everything always, but if you have to be skeptical always, always. So what happens with this Matt Gaetz investigation? Because he was being investigated, my understanding is he was being investigated by the Department of Justice, and they dropped it.
Yeah. It's true.
So if he was being in, why would they drop it?
That's a great question. And why, if he committed a clear crime, was he never charged anywhere else? Why has this only been an internal congressional
in this
investigation?
Climate.
Exactly.
With this Department of Justice that isn't taking passes on charging Republicans with things, and I would assume certainly of this magnitude, with this type of a person who is publicly, intentionally known by basically everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The article goes on to say Greenberg's attorney Fritz Wormuth notified other attorneys in the case that unredacted documents were accessed by an, quote, unauthorized third party on Monday afternoon. The exhibits included, for instance, unredacted copies of the deposition transcripts of three witnesses, including the trafficking victim. Wormuth wrote in an email, witnesses in the case said the 17-year-old trafficking victim had, quote, access to the bedrooms in the Dorworth residence to engage in sexual activities, as well as alcohol, cocaine, ecstasy, also known as Molly, and marijuana. Several of the witnesses in the defamation case have also testified before the House Ethics Committee. I'm just perplexed by this because I, of course, want none of this to be true. And as we've said before, the worst thing that can happen with the Gates nomination depends on who you are. He's either going to be confirmed or he's not going to be confirmed. I feel like he would be able to enact what Donald Trump wants him to act as the attorney general. But there's this big question mark that exists in here. How do you get past a confirmation hearing? And before you say recess appointments, I do not believe that this Senate is going to recess appointment an attorney general for 2 years. I could be wrong on that, but I do not believe that that is going to be the case at all. Do you think that they're going to? That's a huge, huge deal.
No, they're not going to do it. Even if they did it for a short term, it wouldn't be
It's 2 years.
Permanent.
It's 2 years.
A recess appointment
two
is
years.
2 years?
2 years.
See, I thought they were temporary.
2 years.
No, they won't do that.
If I'm putting myself in the position to think the converse, if Kamala Harris was appointing the equivalents of what we're looking for, like the people who would make us go, holy crap, she appointed that person. If they were like, oh, and they're going to do recess appointments to put these people through the attorney general, I would not like that.
No.
I'm just like, I understand the point of getting the job done, but you have 53 senators in the Senate. I don't know. Maybe I'm being Pollyannish about this, but I feel like you should have the hearings.
Yeah, you should have the hearings. That's why you have the nomination process. It's also, I think, safe to say that if it comes out that it's, and he'll never admit to it, but if it comes out that it's very obvious and the consensus becomes, yes, he did do this, which from what I've read, correct me if I'm wrong, 2017 is when this supposedly happened.
Florida attorney Joel Leppard told ABC News on Monday that he represents the two women who testified that Gates paid them for sex through Venmo. And one witness said she saw Gates having sex with her then 17-year-old friend at a Florida house party in July 2017. That's another question that's coming up here. Did he know that they were 17? Does that matter?
Well, the testimony from the girls says that they're not sure he did.
Yeah, I understand that to be in question.
Yes. But regardless, if this is something that a 35 or 37-year-old guy is having sex with minors, regardless, that's not somebody I want confirmed. So there is a process here that's good, that if you find out the truth that yeah, this guy was doing some really weird stuff, I don't want that guy to be the attorney general. But conversely, if this stuff is part of the political process, because we're definitely not beyond that, that very well could be what this is, then sweep it away. That's why I think this is actually going to be a great process where we get the hearings, it's going to be public, everybody's going to see what happens, and then they have a vote.
Yeah, and I don't know that each of these hearings is going to be like a show-stopping, you know, lean in because it's going to be so salacious you can't turn it off. I don't know if the Secretary of Housing appointment is going to be like, guys, did you see the nominee for HUD the other day? The Matt Gaetz one will be.
Yeah, I'm not setting my watch by Doug Burgum.
I think that the RFK Jr. one will be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be interesting to see the Tulsi Gabbard one. I'm looking at the rest of these, though. Marco Rubio, that's going to be an easy one. Democrats and Republicans in the Senate alike are interested in that. The Pete Hegseth one, I feel like they're going to try to make a big deal. That'll probably be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these will. If you know the name ahead of time, it'll probably be a little more interesting for that reason.
Yeah. I just think that the Matt Gaetz thing is what the left in this country is going to, they're gonna put all of their efforts into that because that's where they feel like they can maybe get a win. And they're not feeling very many wins lately. So he's going to get a lot of attention. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny. If you want to be the attorney general, if you want to be the president of the United States, if you want to be anybody who's in an elected position or an appointed position by an elected official, you should be under scrutiny, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to stand by that. I just want what's right and real and true to be what comes out.
And you just want the same scrutiny for both sides.
Exactly.
Which is not the case right now.
Yeah. I trust so few people with so little.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll get the results to the YouTube live chat poll when we come back. Which full story do you most want to be released? All of the assassination attempts, even the successful ones, Jeffrey Epstein, COVID, or the 2020 election? What are you looking to find out the full story to? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote there. We'll give you the results in about 12 minutes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Mark Rudin's coming up next. He just gave that promo about that story about bathrooms. You're going to want to tune in for that because I saw Nancy Mace and I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about it. And those are two fireballs when it comes to saying things like they are. So I'll be tuning into the Mark Rudin Show to hear what he has to say about that. The YouTube live chat poll for today, if you haven't voted on it yet, which full story do you want to be released the most? I saw a lot of people saying that Jeffrey Epstein is dead and it seems like it's in the past and they're kind of over it.
What?
I just don't really feel like, I feel like that was their goal, is to make it go away.
Well, yeah, that's, it worked on you then.
Ender said, we know the story of COVID. We also honestly know the story of the 2020 election. Maybe not entirely, but enough. Between what's left, Epstein is much more important to me. You know, there's a lot of accusations that exist out there, too, about Jeffrey Epstein and P. Diddy being like a government asset.
Oh, I haven't heard this. P. Diddy is a government asset. Okay.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard those allegations. I mean, apparently he had like hardware full of videotapes and drives and all that other stuff of all the people doing all the crazy stuff at the Diddy parties.
Yeah, but how does that
make
him
That makes him a freak.
Yeah.
Well.
That's how he lorded over people.
But if the government has access to that, if you're an asset of the government, then you give those tapes to the government, and the government can then influence those influential people.
Ah, kind of like Elvis and Nixon.
Is that a thing? I don't know. I wasn't alive then. Explain it to us.
Elvis was supposed to be like, there's rumors that he was like a secret agent for Nixon in Hollywood. That's all I know.
Why do you know more about that than you know about Epstein and P. Diddy?
Because Elvis is cooler than P. Diddy. Somebody
allegedly
come
cool
at me on that. Come on.
Arguably cool.
Right? As the Beatles. As we were talking about yesterday. If you don't know what we're talking about, get the podcast.
What are your kids are they 10 yet?
Mm-hmm.
What are they really into these days?
Books. They just read all the time.
Yeah.
All of them do. Yeah.
Any pop culture stuff? Any pop culture books?
Yeah, I mean, they like Pokemon cards and stuff like that. Pop culture stuff. They like Dude Perfect. That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter just is artistic, so I don't know.
I am watching my kids. They consume news media because at home I will get done with a basketball game or something like that, and I come home and I'll try to watch like one primetime show on fast forward, don't have to watch the commercials, DVR and everything, just to see like, did I miss anything? Or it's kind of puts the punctuation on the end of the day in case there's something that like
primetime news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You said primetime show. I figured it was news.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As indicated by me saying I turn on the news.
Okay.
But anyway, they'll sit and they'll kind of watch it. They love the producer for Jesse Waters primetime or whatever it is. He goes out and he does Man on the Street stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my kids will watch it. And Johnny is his name. And they'll go out and he asks these people questions. And they're grown people in New York City. And they don't know anything. I don't know how many people Johnny has to interview to get a quality montage that is amusing, because it's meant to be funny. It's meant to be entertaining, of course. There's usually like a person in there, and it's the best when it's like the one you think is going to be dumb, but they actually know a lot of stuff. But he told one person yesterday, he goes, What did you think about Donald Trump's appointment of Hulk Hogan as Secretary of Defense? And he's like, yeah, man, when I heard that, I was like, wow, really? And then he goes, where did you hear that reported? He goes, you heard that reported? And he's like, yeah, where'd you hear that reported? And he, I think he says, MSNBC, Morning Joe. And he goes, you heard that Hulk Hogan was appointed to be the Secretary of Defense on Morning Joe? And he's like, yeah, I don't know what to think about that. And he's like, that never happened. And he's just like, oh. But I think it's really important when we're like deep diving here into whatever the Matt Gaetz thing is, and we're trying to think of all the different angles of, is Matt Gaetz the sleaze that he's being alleged to be, or is he being framed to look like this? And that would be a great injustice against an American citizen. Like, what's the truth? I don't know. We're trying to navigate all around this. And the people who they go interview on the street for these man on the street interviews, not only do they know so very little, but they don't have like worries and cares that they exude that are the same as what we worry about. Like, the more you know, the more you worry sometimes. I feel better about the American government's future than I've ever felt about it, probably since I've been paying attention. Because the first time we did the Trump thing, we didn't know. We didn't understand what Donald Trump was capable of. We didn't, you trusted him probably 90%, but there were all these questions out there that were being thrown at him, allegations that were surrounding him about Russia and all of these different things. And you just, like, the whole time you were just like, well, gosh, I hope this really works. But the confidence that I have in Donald Trump's ability to go in there and do the job the way it's supposed to be done, it's as high as it's ever been for me before. And I have a lot of clarity on that. And when he's nominating these people to these cabinet positions, I have a lot of confidence in Donald Trump's wisdom and why he's nominating who he's nominating.
He's earned it.
Yeah.
Before, you didn't know.
Would you support Hulk Hogan for the Secretary of Defense?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
You Pete Hegseth guy?
Yep.
Hulk Hogan. Who knew that he'd play such a large part in the saving of America?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Brother. I learned that about him. Brother. That's his word, right?
Yeah. That's,
I was hoping you were
looking. He invented that word.
He did.
Yeah.
Hermano.
Not that one.
Not that one. That's the adaptation. The YouTube live chat poll, which story do you want to be fully released the most? We asked you, and you said 13% of you said the assassination attempts, 21% said COVID, 25% said the 2020 election, and 41% are with all three of us, right? We all three said Jeffrey Epstein. 316 votes in today's poll. Thank you for participating. That bathroom issue in Congress, Mark Reardon's going to tell you about it next.